Hi, and welcome to Go Far Together, a podcast from the University of Regina that introduces you to some of our university's brightest thinkers. My name is Krista Bellico, and I'm the research communication strategist at the U of R. I'm lucky enough to have a front row seat to some of our university's coolest research, and I want you to know about it too. So, periodically, I'll post interviews I've done with the people working on research projects I think you'd like to hear about. And you can always find out more about our research on our website, discoursemagazine.ca. Now, let's get started. Today we're here with Jordan Rustad, a Master's of Science student who's studying biology at the U of R.
What is your current research? So right now I am researching urban wildlife in the city. Regina is a unique place to study urban wildlife. We're essentially an artificial island with a lake that's been dug out artificially. All of our trees have been planted. We have a relatively large amount of green space in the city, which is great. And then we're completely surrounded by an inhospitable agricultural matrix. So typically what you see in urban wildlife studies is more diversity of animals the farther you get out of the city. But because Regina is this weird green space island in an agricultural matrix, it kind of creates a situation where we might have more animals inside the city than outside. And so in order to do that, what I've been doing is setting up trail cameras and audio recorders kind of along an urban to rural gradient. So more buildings, more roads to less buildings, less roads. And I've been cataloging the animals that we get on the trail cameras and the audio recorders. And in addition to that, just kind of as an extra method, I've also started a community science initiative where we've set it up very similar to like a breeding bird survey. All the routes are predetermined and we're asking volunteers to walk those routes and report back what animals they see.
Are you doing video and sound, or are there mics someplace and videos others?
So for all of our sites, we have at least like a full year of photos and a full round of recordings. And for the most part, we are just doing photos. Like the biggest difference between like the trail cameras and the audio recorders, trail cameras, they have like a very narrow kind of spot where they can take a photo. It's basically whatever is walking by. So things that are too small might not set it off. Birds don't land for very long because, you know, there is like a little bit of a lag when the trail camera detects something and takes a photo. And so basically the trail cameras are hopefully going to be getting lots of mammals. So far we've gotten lots of like white-tailed jackrabbit and deer and that kind of stuff on the trail cameras, versus the audio recorders, which are mostly getting birds and a little bit of amphibians.
What are you noticing in terms of the difference between the interior of the city and as you get further out in terms of the animals? Is there a pattern that you notice yet?
So kind of a preliminary pattern that we've noticed is that for just the trail cameras, it does seem to follow that a more typical distribution of what we'd kind of expect in other urban wildlife studies is there's more animals outside of the city than inside. But when you look at the audio recording data, there's the highest amount of diversity is actually on the edges of the city, so in between, so those suburban areas. And when you combine it, that suburban edge effect stays in. So right now what we're seeing is a potential edge effect, but we won't know for sure. I'm still kind of looking at the statistics and making sure it's like the fun of science is it's statistically significant.
So edge effect, can you just tell me what that means exactly?
Yeah, so an edge is essentially where two habitats meet. So think if you're walking in Wascana Park, there's the lake kind of abruptly there. There's that line of trees, and then there's kind of like that more mowed lawn kind of park. Those trees right there in between those two habitats are an edge. And so when you're walking in the park, you're going to notice there's more birds in those trees singing and moving around and foraging than there is like on the lawn. And so an edge effect is just that. It's like you see the highest number of species in the edge versus in the two different types of habitats.
So do we not have the most animals in Wascana Park, or there's actually more outside in the suburbs?
So that's kind of what we're teasing apart right now. So we had a couple cameras right in Wascana Park near the Science Center. But a lot of our cameras in the last year followed the Wascana Creek fairly closely. And others were completely, like, disconnected. And what we noticed is kind of that Wascana network did have, like, a higher number of species. But you look at a lot of, like, the suburban sites are part of that Wascana complex. Like, right now we have a site set up in Mikkel Wascana, kind of on the very edge of the city, and one over by A.E. Wilson. But it's kind of that creek right now, I think, that's creating the highest amount of biodiversity.
What animal has surprised you?
Ooh. I think, like, the most surprising, we haven't gotten any photos of skunks or porcupines. So what's been more surprising is what we haven't seen for me. The other thing is we haven't got too many pictures of moose. And, like, people see them, you know, from time to time going through the city. And I was thinking, like, there's probably more than what we're seeing. But the moose moves through and we don't necessarily get them on the trail cameras.
What got you interested? How did you come up with this project?
So the project kind of fell in my lap, honestly. I've completed my undergrad and I was working kind of as a field biologist for a few years. And I was kind of ready to do something else. I didn't know what. And just, like, talking to people, just like, I'm open to different things. Like, what's out there? I got in contact with Ryan Fisher at the museum. He had kind of gotten the project off the ground and he was looking for a master's student to kind of run it and someone who had the skills to develop and design and launch a community science project and who had strong enough bird identification skills to use the audio recorders as well. And I kind of fit the bill and I was like, this sounds interesting and cool. Yeah, I'll do it.
Why do you have bird identification skills?
So I have worked as the field manager of Last Mountain Bird Observatory for 5 years. And I've been volunteering or working out there for the past 12 now, I want to say. And most of my background work-wise is with birds. So I have relatively strong bird identification skills, both visually and audio-wise. And so I've developed those skills. And it's, yeah.
Have you always been interested in birds?
I have not. So I grew up on a farm, and I don't think I really appreciated the nature that was around me because it was there every day. You know, you just kind of become numb to what's ever in front of you all the time. And so in high school, I did a career work experience here at the Bird and Bat Lab under Mark Brigham. And at that time, I was determined that I was going to be a medical doctor. And I got to go up to the Cypress Hills Field Station and miss net for bats. And I got to visit a bird banding station up at Craven. And from that, I went back to my small town, and I was that nerdy kid, so I told my librarian about it. And her partner happened to be the field manager of Last Mountain Bird Observatory at the time, and he was like, oh yes, come out and volunteer. And so I volunteered out there that summer, and they hired me the next year. And here we are. It just kind of snuck up on me. It was like, this is cool. I'm going to continue doing this.
So who are you working with here? Ryan Fisher and who else?
Mark Brigham.
So having a work experience, what, a semester in high school?
Yes.
Basically has changed the course of your life.
Yes.
Your direction really changed as a young person. How important or what do you think is important then in terms of high school students having opportunities like you did?
I think it's extremely important because we put a lot of pressure on young people, especially like grade 11s and 12s. Like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And I don't think anyone does that anymore. So being able to experience like a wide range of things and just try something kind of out of the box and doing that is extremely important because you never know where something might take you, honestly.
This is a super interesting project. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to Jordan Rustad, a Master's of Science student studying biology here at the University of Regina. And thank you for joining me, Krista Bellico, on our podcast, Go Far Together. To find out more about what's happening in the world of research at the U of R, visit our website, discoursemagazine.ca.